Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders. And now, here are your hosts, Marcus and Marisol.
Hello, Marcus.
Hello, Marisol.
It's a beautiful day.
It is. It is February, and it is really nice out. That's wild.
The weather's been, you wake up and it's rainy and it's cold, then it's beautiful and it's sunny, then it's freezing.
That's how it was yesterday.
It was like all seasons in one day.
It was really cold this weekend, too.
Did you compete this weekend? Did you travel?
Oh. No. We were in town practice.
Yeah.
I had my, I just practiced this weekend with prep. Oops, sorry.
That's a no-no in podcasting world. I have, told you I was doing this new podcast.
Yeah.
Or the old podcast before I started the cheerleading one, I have a new podcasting partner, and he's 71, before had never heard of a podcast, so he doesn't know, so now I'm working with him, and so it's like starting over again, but he's also older, so all this technology is all like new to him, so it's so funny, so.
How do I turn it off?
We were just laughing yesterday because we did a podcast, and the sound, he couldn't hear me. So we would go into these like really deep conversations, like really just big, metaphysical conversation. And he'd stop and be like, I can't hear you. So it made me think of you and how far you've come.
I'm doing so good.
This is episode 29, I think.
29. Season 2.
This is, we have repeat guests.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
That is really cool.
This is one of my favorite, Jimbo. Jimbo from Woodward. I have to say, Woodward does not sponsor the podcast. Woodward, the fact that my daughter goes to Woodward just happened organically.
Yeah.
But I will say, I'd be happy to sponsor them. Because, and I'm speaking for myself because I really try not to give my child's perspective in life on this podcast. When she's old enough to speak for herself, she can be on this podcast.
Yeah.
But, the few Dear Marcuses and Marisols or the Facebook messages that I do get still tend to be, and, we have so many new listeners. So people find us, are writing in about something that they heard that we talked about last year. But the two common things are Mean Girls and about money. The money. Parents, and money. And so the Mean Girl thing, I just wanted to circle back because we haven't talked about it in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not speaking from my child's perspective. I'm speaking from a parent's perspective of watching a child go through middle school and I want to say shit show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But
my experience of as a parent seeing that happen, I am so grateful to Woodward because it's consistently the place that my kid looks forward to going to. Like every year, she's like a countdown calendar to when she gets to go back to Woodward. So if there's a conflict of interest, because I talk so much about it so favorably, I don't think so. But that's why it's special to my kid. It's not for everyone. I get that. If your child loves cheerleading, if you have the availability for it, I definitely 2 thumbs up from this non-paid. but she loves it. She should endorse them. And she's just, it's up.
She does.
It's up on the wall. She has countdown. She asked for a second week for her birthday, not for me, just to clarify. and it's what she looks forward to. So, and I will speak for myself now. This year seems to have been particularly difficult as a parent, having a 7th grader in middle school. So I'm happy she has something to look forward to.
Amen.
I'm happy she has friends to meet up with. And you know, submerge herself into this summer camp lifestyle in something that she loves, which is cheerleading.
Would you ever send her to another location, Woodward?
I think I saw they, I think they have like Mexico.
Yeah.
I was totally like for a minute, like a hot minute, trying to figure out how I could take the older two, go to Mexico, drop her off, like make it a family vacation. 2019's not panning out that way so far.
No. 2020.
Supposed to go back to Honduras for 2020. That's my family reunion. So we're talking about that for June. But yes, I've seen that and I would love that.
I think that would be cool.
I think there's another one. There's Woodward. I don't know. I'm not an expert at Woodward.
No, yeah. Where is it? It's somewhere on the West Coast.
There's Woodward West. There's Mexico. I only know the one in Pennsylvania.
Did you know that they don't just do tumbling? I found that out this past summer.
Really?
When somebody in my store came in with a Woodward sweatshirt, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Some of my kids go there. First, they were like, hold on, your kids. But I was like, you know, tumbling, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, yeah, we did like the BMX or something like that. And I was like, what? Yeah,
they have the the whole thing. They have production.
Like, that is so cool.
TV. I'm not an expert. Shoot.
A long time ago, someone asked if they were to do like a dance thing. They asked if I would want to do it. And I was like, yeah.
Heck yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Hopefully, we're going to do our, not a live podcast, but a podcast from there. That's what we've all been talking about. Mm-hmm. So hopefully maybe this year you'll get to go.
Ooh.
To.
Oh, and he talks about some like coaches stuff. Ooh, yeah. I can't wait for y'all to hear him.
The minute we recorded that, I think I texted you. I know I texted a friend of mine. I was like, oh my God, I sounded like an idiot on today's podcast. Like I was just so, I don't know, intimidated. I don't think the word is intimidated, but.
I think it's just like a knowledge thing.
Yeah, I don't know. And he's smart. Like, I know And I know, like, I could say more, but I'm not. So I wasn't a good podcaster today. They were making fun of me. But yes, the interview is cool, so I can't wait for people to hear that. But before we shoot off to Jimbo, I want to say thank you for KK, your KK.
Yes.
She was so sweet.
Wasn't she, though?
Totally. Can I say something?
She always is. Her family's always been, like, super awesome. I love her mom.
Can I say this?
What's your name?
Oh. I didn't know she was white. I don't know if that makes a difference in any way, shape, or form. I'm not trying to be racist.
She's a thug. That's my girl.
I did not know. In my head, I don't know why.
Oh, because KK?
Maybe. I don't know. But then you sent me the pictures for the promotion last week. And I was like, what? I totally did not see that. In my head, I had a black cheerleader. So isn't that weird? It's nothing but color.
Nothing but color.
And if anyone thinks I'm racist, go back and listen to like 3 episodes down when I ranted on.
Please.
So anyway, she was very sweet.
Wasn't she? I love her.
I thought...
No, but like that was a true story when we were like, I'm so proud of you. No, I'm so proud of you. No, I'm so proud of you. I love you so much. No, I love you. It's one of those. This is my girl.
She's
about to graduate college. This is wild to me.
I think it was really informative. The feedback I got from the parents, I was not alone in not knowing about club cheer. Yeah. I think my generation... It may be a little younger, but my generation thought of line cheerleaders as the only, you know. And I did get a thank you about the whole scholarship thing, because there are people out there that I think were thinking.
No, absolutely. So, I believe that.
So that was I was very proud of us. I think we very informative podcast
for
parents. Okay, so that's all I have. I had thank yous. I had... Oh, the Mean Girl stuff. You know, we still get people that write in about that. I just got to say, I pray for the day that women and girls, I'm going to be very specific to gender on this. So if I'm sexist, I'm sorry.
Insert certain emoji here.
But I cannot wait for the day that this younger generation, because I feel like they're evolving past us so much and everything. Just, I heard this thing, I read this thing. There's more technology, and you, everyone, please Google it to make sure it's factual. There, we have more technology in our iPhones than we than NASA had available to them when they landed on the moon, or when President Clinton was in office. We have more technology available to us on the daily than they did. That blows my mind.
Absolutely.
So it's exponential. This technology's like, we're just, you know, I feel like we're auto-correcting in real time.
Do you think we actually went to the moon?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I think the Earth is round. I just saw this thing that said, blame YouTube for people believing the world's flat, like an increase in people believing the world's flat. And I'm like, it's literally, we're going to slap ourselves stupid at any moment now. But the technology is just, it's there, right? So, and I feel like it's an evolutionary jump. Like it's an opportunity. Everything that's happening right now is an opportunity for us to like grow. And so I think the younger generation is going to do it. And I have faith in them. And I can't wait for the girls of this generation to realize so much sooner than maybe my generation that when you lift each other up, you are so much stronger than tearing each other down. I don't know the biology or the sociological reasons that we are the way we are. It happens like around, observationally to me, it seems to happen around fourth grade. Up until third grade, we're all getting along. Life is good. Fourth grade, it's suddenly a power trip with girls. And I'm being observational. I've had two. I'm saying this as a perspective as a mom, as friends who have daughters, like the the constant theme. Girls can be very mean to each other. They ice each other out. They one day are friends. And now social media has added a whole new mix to it. I'm sorry it happens. We need to do better. We need to evolve. So you can't control other people. You can only control yourself. So
I've been saying it for years. Girls are crazy.
We got to get better because it's just, it's only doing is passing on pain over and over.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do you, anyway, I don't want to go off on a rant. So the mean girl thing, I'm sorry about, listen to episode 9 with Ryan Cummings as our guest. Mm-hmm. We go deep into the mean girl thing there. Money is another thing with all the new listeners we have. Parents are very, a lot of parents have been very forthcoming with their financial woes.
Yeah.
That seem to, you know, also seem to be exponential. Like, I remember the first time we ever heard a number, I think it was like 40 grand.
Ooh.
And my eyes like popped and stuff. And now I'm like receiving stuff where people are like, I don't know if I'm going to make my mortgage payment. You know, I'm like, people are stressed.
Yeah.
They're stressed. And I all I can say is I appreciate the gyms who have gotten together.
Yes.
To take a look at it. I've done research. I feel like it's not just a cheer related thing. There's dozens of articles out there about the whole travel sport industry complex. But we can do better. We can always do better. I have faith. So hopefully people are listening. Maybe stop charging us for the events that we've already paid to go to. Step one, maybe.
Maybe one.
Maybe we can get a big enough platform that we can help with the change. But till now, we can have guests like this. Our wonderful Jimbo. And I'm very excited for our next guest. He's one of my favorite go-to people in the industry. He's very kind to me because I'll text him or DM him. And he's always polite to answer back. So one of my favorite, I know Darnell's your favorite coach because you're related to him.
Yes.
But he's my favorite. Jimbo, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Guys, how are you?
You know, I don't know if you know this, and I might embarrass you by sharing this with you, but you have a little cheer bomb fan base with like 40-year-old moms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's the workout videos.
It may be the workout videos.
But you're the one, like moms who listen to the podcast, it'll sprinkle through. They'll be like, oh, They'll like send me a picture of Jimbo, like, oh my God, he's smart and cute. And I'm like, and you're older.
Yeah, I am getting older. I feel that. I just turned 30 this year. So
no, they're like 45. They're the old ones. You're a cub. So anyway, I'm getting creepy. You're supposed to stop me from doing that. So let's talk to Jimbo about, we have a couple things, but the what started this reunion for us was we got that Dear Marcus and Marisol letter in Christmas time, around Christmas time. Someone had, a cheerleader had requested Woodward for Christmas,
for a Christmas gift.
Is a constant at my house. And it looked like she was, or he, I don't remember the sex, was going to get it. But then the mom had gone to the gym, and then the coach kind of talked her out of it. And I was really sad. I remember sending it to you, Jimbo. And it actually kind of was a catalyst for us changing our show. Like, we don't really do Dear Marcus and Marisol weekly because I just felt very sad. And I don't like to feel sad. but it made me sad for the little girl because I think I would have wanted her, I would have wanted to tell her, my child loves Woodward. It's an experience for her. This year when she left Woodward, she was decked out from head to toe in Woodward paraphernalia. Which
she spent that first 2 days.
Which she spent the first 2 days. Her birthday's coming up. She's asking for a second week for Woodward is my child's happy place. So I'm a huge fan. You don't pay us for sponsorship, and we're constantly saying, you know, Woodward's a wonderful place. So I wanted to, like, help this kid out, but luckily I didn't have her email, and I couldn't do it. But I spoke to you about it because there is a thing with coaches who aren't necessarily big fans of their cheerleaders going to other programs or other clinics or other
outside
of their
education.
Own. Yeah. So that's a lot to lay out in an introduction, but what you got, Jimbo?
Yeah. I mean, when you first, kind of reached out to me about it, I'm not sure if you were surprised or not when I responded with, yeah, I've heard that before. I've heard it actually quite a bit. But I think
so that happens a lot.
It does. I wouldn't say that it happens a lot. I think it just happens with a certain type of individual or a certain type of coach.
Okay.
I know that there are a lot of, especially with the industry changing, there are a lot of coaches and gym owners out there that you know, are changing with the times, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's slowly becoming an industry where there are so many resources to develop both skills, attributes that come from decision-making capabilities, or even just how to deal with things independently altogether. And that's a little bit, I guess, broad on the aspect of talking about Woodward. But the biggest thing is I also work other camps. I have Keen Camps that I run with an amazing staff and a bunch of great friends where we travel to programs and do clinics inside of their programs.
I hate to interrupt, but I just introduced you as the director of Woodward, but you're also a head coach for Top Gun. So, I mean, your experience is not, you're not just Woodward. You're coming on, you know, our podcast as Jimbo, like, you know, who happens to do all this.
Yes.
And have all this experience. Yeah.
So working at Top Gun, Woodward, Keen Camps, judging, you know, I guess the benefit or the privilege to meet all sorts of people all the time, from new coaches, experienced coaches, new gym owners, experienced gym owners, retired gym owners, the different people that are judging you every single weekend, from their, like, the judges stand. And it's really a privilege because it kind of helps me shape an overall opinion, or I guess my own inferences about how I can help kids, you know, reach their own level of what they think is success. But to take a step back from that and really just talk about other people's opinions about that, I think the big thing is I see it a lot. People take kind of ownership of their athletes, and that's totally normal, especially when especially when, you know, you're developing this kid that's going to be like the face of your brand, really. They go out and they wear your brand or the gym that you work for's brand on a week-to-week basis, especially in January, February, and March, sometimes competing every weekend. And so it's completely understandable when people are hesitant about letting other people work with their kids. I've never really had those feelings, but I also think I'm very jaded in the sense that, or I guess biased in the sense that I've worked at Woodward for over a decade now, and I'm constantly working with new athletes every week, and none of them are athletes that I coach. Well, not all of them are athletes that I coach at home. Mm-hmm. So I have that benefit of seeing so many different people and just giving them like the idea of a fresh face. I'm a firm believer in that. And you could have somebody say the same thing in the same tone, just come out of a different mouth, and there's a different respect from it when they're newer to the I guess, coaching that athlete than somebody that coaches them every day, and that kid might have opinions about that person, or even just, you know, not, it's almost like a diluted coaching effect. Because you hear this, you hear that person talk every day.
Yeah, it's like the Peanuts, you know, like the adults in the Peanuts.
Yeah, wah, 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 wah.
You, like, that's how, how I think.
One ear out the other.
Yeah, well, if you have a then lot of contact. Yeah, if they have contact with the same person over and over, they start to drum it out, I think. Marcus and I have talked about the whole coach thing. You know, and it's not just related to Woodward. I've experienced it just going, you know, 2 hours to Raleigh for a clinic with my kid. My perspective, and this is mine as a parent, is the difference might be in like the ego. Like it's an ego thing where they don't want the kid. I never thought about the brand though. That was a first time I've ever thought about that. Cause some of these athletes are a brand, mm-hmm. which I don't agree with personally, I think, but that's my opinion. I think they can't help but become a brand because they're so good. I get that. But I think social media distorts that a bit. Yeah. But anyway, back to the point. I feel like if a coach, who I think of as a teacher, you want them to go out and be exposed to as much as possible. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go away and undo everything. Like, I feel like coach, when I say ego, I'm not articulating this well, but when I say ego, what I'm saying is it comes from a fear. If you're afraid that your athlete is going to like that other coach better, or it's a fear that they're going to criticize their coaching style. Mm-hmm. And I feel ego is fear. That's what the whole purpose of the ego is. And
I see that absolutely.
That's what I see when someone, and it's not only to coaching, but to anyone who has a sense of power or control over someone, if they are scared to let them go.
Yes.
No, I can agree with that. I think I wouldn't backpedal at all. I think ego hits it right on the head, but I think it's it just depends on your own opinion of what the word ego means. I think that there are people that you know, that they don't want their kids working with other kids because they have a very, very strong opinion about what they do and how they think is what's right. And I think that's where gymnastics and cheerleading kind of separate, because in gymnastics, there are so many different books and like training regimens and everything where that all lead to a correct way of doing things. But it doesn't mean you have to take the same route to get there. Of doing that correct skill.
Absolutely.
I mean, I still think that the two hardest skills to master and be able to do on an overall in cheerleading are the round off and the layout. Obviously, I don't like them back to back, but I think that they are two of the hardest skills to figure out. And if I say that, I think this is where it's a little bit different for, especially the out at Woodward, the kind of Woodward difference is, we have so many different coaches of different levels and different abilities and different backgrounds. So like you have to be willing to kind of take a step back from your normal teaching, which is why we have the visiting coach program.
I would love that.
You can come out and you can learn from kids that are, you know, we have coaches each week, and I get questions all the time. Well, the coaches out there aren't advanced. And it's like, well, I can understand why you could come up with that opinion, but at the same time, it's not entirely true in the sense that not every single coach is hired to be the top level five instructor in the entire world. We're at an all skill levels based camp out at Woodward. And so I need people that are level one proficient and level one, like masters. And they might have been working on level one skills for 2 to 3 years and learning how to coach them and develop different drills for them and strength and conditioning and everything. And they just might not be a level five coach, and I might bring them out, and then people automatically develop the inference that they're not the best coach because they weren't working with the level five kids. And I think that's where the ego comes into play. It's not really taking a step back and really listening to what's in front of them. You know, I have plenty of coaches that can coach every level, but I know plenty of top level five coaches that you can ask them tons of stuff about how to connect a back walk over to a back handspring or a jump back handspring or something like that, and people are going to give you different answer. And it just goes to show you that everyone's a little bit different. And I think to take that back to our original question of people working with other kids, the fear comes in either the fact that they might try something different and get hurt, which then a lot of blame is placed on the other coach rather than just, you know, functional strength might have played into a factor, or just it's a freak accident. I mean, you see them in basketball from professionals or football from professionals, they get hurt, and you don't see people placing blame, but in cheer, it's a very, very prominent. If someone gets hurt working with another coach, people develop a strong opinion about that coach and what happened, because it happened under their watch, which is understandable.
Yeah.
But I think that's where some people, it's definitely changed over the years, especially out at Woodward. We have I'll preach this to the day that I die, unless someone else does better. I think our facility tops any facility for cheer training in the entire world. And I think that's what allows for the ability to train at your level, or, you know, at a couple steps higher, and do it safely. Is that's the one thing that every Woodward staff member must be educated on and proficient on by the time that they start working each week, because I make sure that they understand what each piece of equipment does and how they can use it to their benefit. We have drill clinics. We have one-on-ones where I'll work with a coach, and they'll ask me every single day for a week, this is what I did today with these kids. How can I move this forward tomorrow? What are some ideas? And sometimes I don't have the right answers. I'll have to ask a coach that's only been there for 2 years that has worked with level one and twos. And I think that's where the difference lies, is a lot of people aren't educated really on how it works out at Woodward. I mean, we're more than just a camp. Like, it's not just to go there and train. We're a summer camp. If you look at people that train to go play instruments at camp, or just a summer camp, like atmosphere with no training for cheer or something like that, people spend thousands of dollars to go to that stuff, and they forget that that's what Woodward overall is. We do like pride ourselves on empowering kids to like progress and advance through their sport and like creative expression, along with like using the facilities and the culture. Like, there's so many different levels of kids out there that just push each other to be better, but support each other, which is the best part. And I think that if a coach that has an opinion about that hasn't had the chance to see it, it's a little hard for them to understand, just because, you know, they're in the gym environment every day and it's a little bit different.
Let me ask you this, because I and this is a hypothetical, this has not happened in my life, but have you ever I would think, like, if I had a star athlete, or I had an athlete who this is their passion, their goal is to get on a world's team, their passion is to be on that stage, and I totally lost my train of thought.
It happened.
No, but if I've always thought that if that child was identified, and the other weird thing, weird or outlier in the cheer industry, is we have this country, this huge expansion here, at least in the United States, where you have long distances between gyms. So people don't always have the option of finding multiple gyms to find the right coach. Does that make sense? You're with who, where you are geographically.
Yes.
So
I think that's where the ownership comes into play.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you have that, I would like, what I would wish for me was if I had a star athlete who had talent, who had that drive, who had that desire, that the coach would want to help that child achieve that. And that might mean saying, okay, that this is your plan, you know. And let's using my child as an example, if that coach would be, I'm like, okay, I have the resources to send her to Woodward. So she's going to go to Woodward, to contact you and be like, hey, my athlete's going week, whatever. These are areas that I have, you know, that she's not progressing in, that, you know, the womp, womp, womp peanut thing is happening. That to me would be like my dream coach. Does that make sense? Like, have you ever had that? Has that ever happened?
No, absolutely. I mean, I guess it's just about your idea on how to achieve success. If your idea of achieving success is to get to one skill or one ending goal of a bunch of skills, and you have a coach that you relate with and you can connect with them on a personal level that makes things, they just make things a little bit easier to understand and apply, then I think you're in a good spot. I think the part where it differs a little bit is when you have those coaches that are like that, that then get nervous to let them work with anyone else, almost like it's they're building up something in their garage and they don't want anyone else to build it. They want to build it. You know, it's not like,
it's like to me, it's a sense of proprietary, you know, and I'm not saying that correctly, but, and I don't think the intentions behind any of the coaches is necessarily negative. I do think that their instinct is to protect their, yeah, I know you agree with that. Their instinct is to protect their program or their cheerleader or whatever. But and this is me, Marisol, speaking as a parent. My opinion is, like I said before, that comes from a place of fear. And then maybe we flip that perspective and say, what's the best for the kid? Like, because
after the fact,
there's multiple teachers. I think of a coach as a teacher. And you can learn from I'm going to go all woo-woo, who God puts in your path to teach you what you need to learn, you have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts on it.
I mean, anybody that listens to this podcast, or anybody that listens to or goes to cheer comps, or any of us that are on this podcast currently, I can't look back and say that I learned everything under the sun that I have learned from one person in particular. I'd be naive to think that I did, and anybody else would be naive to think that they taught me everything.
No, I mean, there's certain places, like in old, you know, Eastern disciplines, there was a one teacher to one student ratio, but we've evolved way past that. And that, you know, I'm talking like Kung Fu.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I'm kidding. But like, there's parallels to other industries that do that the same. But I think that teachers come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and experiences. So
And I think that to relate that back to what I was just saying about the, what your idea of success is and how your path creates, or you create your path for that. If your path is to get there as fast as you can, and that's it, and you're not really there to enjoy the journey from the beginning, not saying it won't be enjoyable, but you don't put that into perspective that this can be enjoyable. I think that's where the difference lies. And I think that that's where a lot of the coaches' opinions come from, or their thoughts, is that it's just like someone raising a child. They're raising a cheerleader, you know, and it's like you want to help them get to their end goal, and sometimes that's your end goal, and you got to kind of make those two things, you know, I guess, mesh together to get the best result. But at the end of the day, if there are many more options, even with our kids, like at Top Gun, and I work at the Ohio location, I'll bounce ideas off of Victor and Sean all the time, or I'll call Kristen if I have a question about how to deal with something that's not like, that's related to how to connect with someone, you know. Like, I think that's the best part about the family that we have with Top Gun. We have other people that come in outside of those people to work with our kids. It's not just you know, TG coaches that come in to help our tumbling. We have people come to our gym to work with our tumbling all the time, like once a month sometimes. So what, like once, two people a month sometimes, depending on the school schedules. And I think that is a true, like, showing that, you know, we don't have all the answers, but if we can get more avenues that lead to what these kids want and what their idea of success is, I think that's where, you know, you have to think outside of the box.
And you and I have had this conversation offline, where I've toyed with the idea of, like, can we Skype? Can I sign a waiver where coach my kid on a certain skill and do it via Skype? But we've never really figured out the logistics of that. But I think I come from a place of, let's be open to the possibility of learning from anyone. So
absolutely.
I think the conversation is good to have. And we love, you know, you for coming on and sharing that with us.
I guess since like the beginning of the season, we've been talking about glam in the sport and how like all the makeup and like the hair,
how did it affect the sport?
How it affects the sport, with talks about it, about like
going
to like the Olympics. I made a comment about how much I love like the glam that we see in normal all-star cheerleading. But I think when we do get like super mainstream and we hit that Olympic bar, I think we'll probably have to like tone it down like a little bit.
So until
it grows more in the Olympic area. What do you think about like all the hair and the makeup? Is it helping or hurting us? And the uniforms.
Well, I think it's a little, it depends on how you look at everything. I mean, if our goal is to become an Olympic sport, if our goal is to be, as an industry, our goal is to become looked at as a sport, and that's everybody's, you know, main thing, then I think obviously you're going to have to, you know, go on a more uniform side of, or I guess a more general side of, uniform selection, overall look, everything, just because, I mean, look at everyone in football wears the same stuff, just different colors, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not like their jerseys have a high waisted cut or like, or their jerseys have like a high cut under their shoulder pads or something like that. You know, it's like a general, a way of doing something, and you have to, you know, stay within those boundaries. And I think right now, and my opinion might change on this. My opinions change all the time when I learn new things from other people. I actually listen to podcasts all the time. And I think that it's helped me so much just listening to other people's perspectives. And I think that my opinion now is we train kids to perform, and we train them to perform at a certain level. And that's where we're related to a sport, but we train to perform for a actual performance that other people are watching. To judge for a score, as opposed to the kids gaining a score by hitting certain, like, you know, like a touchdown in football.
Yeah.
Like it's not guaranteed, but you are guaranteed a score on your performance in cheerleading. And, I think that if we want to pride ourselves on the way that we perform, we have to think more along the lines of, performance-based activities like Cirque. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say
Cirque du Soleil.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, "Wow, their outfits are appalling," or, you know, like, "I can't believe that." And it's like, well, why? Because they put in their time on a daily basis to be in the best physical and mental shapes of their lives to do some of the most intense things that you would never see a football player do. Or a basketball player do, that's their craft. And I think if they want to express themselves a certain way, they should be able to, under the realm of how our general society works, what's appropriate and what's not. I also think that it goes back to the same thing we were just talking about. If people think that what certain people are wearing or that they don't look appropriate based on age or even just in general with gender, I think that they should do everything in their power to become educated on why people got there before they develop an opinion that they can preach to others. And I think the same way that we just talked about coaching, the coaches can do the same thing when they're quick to throw judgment about other people or other camps or other programs. I think that people in general, even outside of cheerleading, need to become a little bit more educated on how things work and how people got to certain instances before they automatically develop an opinion and think that it's right.
I agree. I'm obviously a huge consumer of podcasts, and you know, the podcast audience, I keep saying to people, is totally different than like a YouTube audience, or because it's critical thinking. We have a conversation. We don't know everything. No one knows everything. And so we've been talking about glam this season, and my opinion has evolved just in talking to people and asking them about it. Because I feel, and this is my opinion, is I think where I'm butting heads with the glam thing, and not butting heads, but my thoughts on it are, it's such a wide age variance from in cheerleading, from the little bitties to, you know, the older kids, that I'm kind of thinking, okay, maybe that's where my comfort level or the opposite of comfort level is being tested. You know, like maybe the glam isn't for the little bitties. Maybe she doesn't need to be, the little 3-year-old doesn't need to be wearing red lipstick.
Well, you know? Overall, yeah. Just objectively listening, it sounds like the idea of a parent versus matching an industry are coming into play, and they're contradicting each other or they're conflicting with each other. And that's totally normal. It's your child before it's their cheerleader, you know, so your opinion matters.
Yeah. And that leads us to the whole Coaches Alliance thing, which, you know, we won't talk a lot about, but I do feel like this podcast, and I feel like Coaches Alliance, we're all starting to have a conversation.
Yes.
The industry as a whole, I feel, I mean, you're much more on the inside than I am, but I feel like we're all starting to talk about things, you know, how is this industry coming together? Because I think we're also starting to realize how powerful we are.
Yeah.
As an industry. Like we, let's flip to the next topic, which is social media. We've been talking a lot on the podcast about cheerleading and social media and how they're interconnected and what are the best practices. And, you know, we have an opportunity. We literally, I just wrote about this. We have a control group of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of girls. Like, I'm going to say girls for this purpose. Girls who...
You can say girls. It's understandable.
Who, you know, have this technology at their hands that my generation did not have. We don't know. No, we don't need a 20-year study to tell us we're in the middle of a social evolution. And we have this, you know, platform in cheerleading, I think, to set up some good best practices. Just the last few weeks with social media and these anons and how everyone spreads so much hate and negativity, it's not necessary. I mean, in my opinion.
No, absolutely not.
Do you have a rule for your athletes or for Woodward, for your coaches on social media? Like, what is, like, would someone get in trouble in your program if you caught them being ugly towards another cheerleader or something on social media?
Oh, I mean, for Woodward, absolutely with the staff. I mean, I'm not gonna by any means allow a staff member out there that can't be appropriate with anybody, especially publicly. Work with kids. You could be my best friend in the world, and if you can't be a professional, you're not going to work there. And if you can't separate the feelings, then I guess we won't be friends, you know. But I think overall, at the end of the day, the biggest thing is every single industry is going to have people that have your left side and your right side, and the right side is always going to combat the left, and the left's going to combat the right, you know. But at the same time, I think the anonymous accounts or Anons or whatever they are, they usually turn out to be people that just wanted a voice and wanted people to hear them. And usually they turn into, I guess, a negative mindset, even if they started to be positive. if someone challenges them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that has been happening our entire life. That has nothing to do with cheerleading. Mm-hmm. But I think that goes back to the whole open-mindedness thing, allowing yourself to be open to other people's opinions and allowing them to try and change your opinion on things is a good characteristic to have. But I think, especially with Top Gun, we have a very, very, very strict policy that's set in place by Victor and Kristen at the top, and it's spread everywhere else. Like, there's no nothing. Like, you can't, like, there's no, you can't have really anything negative at all. And even if it's a hint of negative, you'll immediately get a message. Your parents will get a message, and you'll be having a meeting immediately.
Ooh, that's fantastic. I mean, for me.
And that obviously we have different franchises, but you're not going to meet with Victor and Kristen if you're in Ohio, but you'll meet with the owner, Heather there, and she will, you know, basically relay her feelings along with all the other owners' feelings about the situation. Like, it's a very, those people are always in good communication, and that's what you need to have in order to run a professional setting like that. And I think I run the same ship with Woodward, which Victor's kind of helped me with over the last couple of years, because he's been, you know, he's one of my good buddies. And it's just, you're dealing with parents who, and I'm sorry, I don't want this to come off as rude, but parents are always going to have different opinions because you're working with their child. You might not have a different opinion, but a different parent might about how someone does things. So you have to be very, very broad, vague, and just, I guess,
consistent.
Realize that your own opinions and things like that aren't necessarily, shouldn't be shared on social if they're a hint of negative, unless they can somehow produce a solution or a result that can help somebody.
Oh, so you're saying parents also, I'm thinking kids and social media, but you're also saying parents play a role in this whole social media conversation too, which is an excellent point, because I hadn't thought about that. Because parents probably post when they are upset about coaches and stuff, and I hadn't even thought about it.
The big thing is, the reason that I was relating parents is because if I have a staff member who posts something that is not appropriate, and that turns into a kid seeing that, and then a parent that pays the money for their kid to go to Woodward, getting
a
hold of that or a wind of that, that could potentially hurt the business, you know? So you got to have a strict policy on social media or any outlet of relaying public knowledge that you've developed, that might not be the best for progress or to support others, which is what kind of Woodward's all about, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, and again, these are all just my opinions. They're not right. This is just how I kind of feel about them.
And I the only thing I would push back on anything you've said, because you said about the right and the left and the left and the right, I actually have kind of grown to think that, you know, that duality isn't real. Like, everything is, there's infinite, there's like lots of opinions, there's lots of potentials, there's infinite ways, there's infinite solutions to one problem. There's not just usually two. And I'd like, you know, to, in anything, in if a coach letting their cheerleader go to another clinic or something, or Woodward, or parents and social media and children and social media, that we just start to have the conversation and think of, like, what's the best solution for whatever obstacles or problems arise. Like, you just got me thinking about parents and social media, because I hadn't thought about that perspective at all. Because I don't think I post about, like, I wouldn't go, I'm not the type of parent to go on social media to, you know, bitch about a coach or like, I know this about myself. I will pick up the phone and call that person directly and be like, hey,
what's up?
This is what I heard. What's really your version of the event?
But no, I don't think that it's about you going on there and expressing your opinion, but you go on there and you could see someone else's opinion, and that might affect how you feel about that business or that person. And that's plays a big part in you pushing your child towards that in the future.
Well, I could talk to you forever, but I feel like I need to say again, this podcast has nothing directly to do with my kid. She's not, you know, her life is separate than Cheer Bomb. But she is like your number one Woodward fan. Like, she's, her birthday's next month. She's already asked for her second week. And I can tell you that she, that's her happy place. That's where, when middle school drama comes up in her life, when, you know, things aren't working out for her the way that she wants, she will say, you know, I can't wait for the summer. I can't wait to, like, that's her happy place. So thank you for that. Because that makes me as a parent very happy.
Right. Well, it's not mine. I didn't create it. I've just been tasked with kind of making sure the system keeps running right now. There's a lot of people, including a lot of my good friends, that have, you know, built that place up to what it is. And I throw my thanks out to them for creating a home for it. So I think, and people like you who trust us to, you know, let your child come out and train with us, but at the same time, just come to a summer camp where it's fun and they can develop a source of independence and learn how to make decisions on their own.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to talk about my kid on there, but I will tell you, last year, we've joked about this before. You
not allowed to say hate.
Well, she, you know, it was a learning experience. She learned the word budget last year.
Oh, I hate that word.
So
that Mundo's coffee shop and that pro shop will really get you going.
2 days. She spent her allotment for 2 weeks in 2 days. And then from then on had to be on a budget. So it's a life experience. thank you so much. I swear I have like 10 more questions I can ask you, but we'd keep this 10-hour podcast. Yeah. But thank you so much. We're huge fans of you, and we really appreciate all your support. It's been a year. We're doing great, and it's because of people like you coming on and helping us.
And I appreciate you guys having me, for sure. I enjoy talking to anybody or listening to anybody, really. I think that's the big thing. That's why I like podcasts.
Did he just compare us to anybody? Sure. That wasn't a compliment. I like listening to anyone.
I would also like to ask, well, not now, but like.
Well, we don't have to do rapid fire with him because he's already been.
We've already done it.
Okay.
But talk more about the like coaches going up there. We can do that like on our own time. But I think that is so cool. And I would love to get like more training from more people as a tumble coach.
Well, come on out.
I'd love us to be so cool. Like for Cheer Bomb to be big enough to like do something with Woodward, or like where we hosted like a scholarship or something for those kids, like that Christmas letter, you know, that, but we're not there yet, Jimbo. but thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
No, thank you for having me, for sure. It's off to the gym now, just like I'm sure you're going to get going.
Yes.
And outside of that, it was great talking to you guys.
I'll talk to you guys
in the future, and definitely have to think about doing that live thing if you guys come out to camp this summer.
We would love that. I can't wait to see him this summer, because this summer I'm actually going to go. Hopefully we'll schedule this thing. I'll have to make it happen. I can't wait to see him. I'm grateful for his support.
Yes.
He's put us in contact with some of our guests. We're Facebook friends. He just seems to vibe on a higher level, and I love people that vibe on that level. So anytime we can.
Woo!
Okay, I just have to describe what just happened. This is my life right now, living with three teenagers. That long, dramatic pause was, we just saw my oldest son just barrel into the driveway.
I didn't think he was going to stop.
You can't. When he had the big old truck, it's one thing, but you can't come in driving like that in a Pilot. It just doesn't have the same effect. Little Honda Pilot. Anyway, going back to Jimbo.
Yes.
I'm just grateful for his support of the podcast, support of us.
I learn something new every time I like listen, and then like every time we talk.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, the thing for the coaches that listen as a parent, I just want to say, in different cultures, in different disciplines, like
over the years, that teacher role, that coach role, mm-hmm. was like sacred. It was really special and important because you have so much power over kids, you Absolutely. Know, and it's just, it's an honor. I know it's a two-way street. I know there's crazy parents. I know there's, you know, kids, but it's such an important, you affect children, which there's nothing greater. You know, I only have three that I have to worry about. Y'all have to worry about all the ones that you come into contact mm. with, but that's a sacred relationship. I really believe that because you affect their, what they think about themselves, that inner voice that they grow up to listen to. You know, you heard in last week's interview, KK, when she spoke so lovingly about the gym staff mm-hmm. at your gym, it has a long-term effect. And I think, you know,
that's part of the reason why I wanted to become a coach, because of my relationship with my coaches, like growing up.
Yeah, we had your coach.
Yeah, too. Billy.
Yeah, no, and no.
Billy and Jamie.
And Jamie, I'm talking about Jamie and just like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And look how close a bond you have there.
And Darnell. I consider Darnell like my first coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so see, I mean, so there's long-lasting relationships. It's yeah. a special, you know, everyone's always looking for their passion, you know, what's yeah. my purpose in life? And I think sometimes, you know, your purpose can be just being the best of whatever it is you're doing. And coaches, if you're the best at being the best coach you can possibly be, you're going to be affecting hundreds of lives. So thumbs up, coaches.
Yes.
Do your best.
You're awesome.
All right. Well, thank you. Check out our website. I don't have a new blog up this week, so it's still talking about the teachable moment on social media and cheerleading. We do have our shirts for sale.
We're selling our shirts.
They're limited quantity, so if you wanted one, I would get one soon. And that's all I got.
That's why we're here.
Do we have...
Cheers board is next week.
I know.
Cheers board is next week.
What are we? I feel, this is what I feel. Okay, now we get. I feel like I'm trying to like, I've become kind of a little bit of a social stalker on the teams that I want to see. I feel like everyone's keeping their stuff under wraps.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're seeing like other people do other people's stunts. Mm-hmm. And is that like, are they calling them out? Or is that is that like a,
It's like we're paying homage.
Okay, good. See, I love that.
No, it's a good thing. A lot of people are doing sci-fi stunt. I know you've seen
that. I've seen that, yeah.
And a lot of people are doing senior elite stunt. A lot of people... Oh my God, there's just stuff going on, and it's, I don't know, it's exciting. I love, okay, here we go, and I'm back.
who are you looking, I want to see who's going to come up with the new uniform, because I feel like next Monday we're going to yeah. be talking about it, and then I want to see, obviously I still want to see all the...
Sorry, yeah. my zipper burnt me.
do you think, I don't want to put them on the spot, but do you think that Majors is going to have a, you know how Panthers just kind of set yeah. off 2018? You thinking this is going to be 2019, or you think people are going to shake things up?
I think it's already being shaken up. The two of the teams that didn't place as high last year during Worlds are like on top this season, so
right.
it's really exciting. I'm like dripping sweat. That's where we are.
I cannot wait. All right, so Monday. We'll
Monday,
have our cheer
sport talk.
Send us any thoughts, you know, Facebook, DM,
yes,
email,
Instagram, Snapchat,
whatever. You all reach us whatever way you want. So thank you so much. I can't wait till next week.
Travel safe. Have fun.
Bye.
Bring me a jacket.
Hey there. This is Sean, the producer guy. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And while Marcus and Marisol cheer you on, please cheer them on by checking out the Cheer Bomb podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, share this podcast. Have a great week.
Cheer Bomb. We are strong. We are powerful. We are cheerleaders.